This podcast replay is brought to you by American Dream Lending. For purchase or refinance, call 786-802-1727. Fast approvals and quick closings. American Dream Lending. Turning dreams into a lifestyle. Call 786-802-1727 or visit adreamlending.com.
We are back. Thank you all out there. Appreciate it. Great job by Ira Winderman and Clay Ferraro with our Pallet Rack City Inside the Paint show. And folks, if you own a warehouse, call my man Eddie Pereira. They will get it done for you. I'm telling you, folks. So call them. They are right here in Hialeah, local business, 715 West 20th Street in Hialeah. I've known Eddie for many, many years. So you business owners out there, you need to organize and, you know, make your warehouse more efficient. You gotta add racks. You don't want boxes stacked all over the place and it looks like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. So call my guy, Eddie Pereira, out there at Pallet Rack City. They will definitely take care of you, man. They're good people out there. So there you go. The Pallet Rack City Inside the Paint show. All right. We are back. We are ready to rock and roll. I like it. Terry says, Dolphin Canada. Number one Dolphin Talk is here with Big O. Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate all of you out there, as always, keeping it locked. And Leon Fresco, thank you, sir, for a little love on the Super Chat. And remember, of course, that you can also do it on Cash App and Venmo. Cash Big O Show. That's the best way to donate, because we get 100% of the donation. YouTube takes away 30% of the donation. So Cash App or Venmo, Cash Big O Show. But listen, if you don't want to get Cash App or Venmo and you want to do it right here on the Super Chat, I definitely appreciate it. Apparently, I guess a lot of you were talking about, well, at least a few of you there were posting it. I'm not going to say a ton, but I did see about four or five posts now on Joe Rose's show. And that was very nice. I didn't know that Joe said I still should be working there. That's very cool. I appreciate that. Joe actually told me that personally when we were at camp, when I was at camp a couple of weeks ago and I was there for practice. And, you know, we said hi to each other. We BS'd around a little bit. And he goes, man, we need you over there. And I told him, yeah, that's not going to happen. So I am not going to go there. Manuel Malo, thank you. Cash App. Way to go, Manuel Malo. Cash Big O Show. Way to go. Thank you, sir. So I had no idea that he said that. I know you guys told me that. I guess the guys asked him if he was retiring and he had no comment. And well, you know, what do you know? I don't know. I thought he was talking about it already. I apologize if I let the cat out of the bag, but I thought it was kind of known pretty much that he's kind of down. I don't blame him, man. It's time for him to relax, dude. He has grinded like no one has ever grinded in our business. So, okay. Listen, let me tell you something. I pride myself on working hard. I do. I pride myself on working. I feel when it comes to electronic, I've been one of the hardest working people in the business, period. That's the only dude that I know surpassed me, bro. That's the only dude right there. That's Joe, bro, because to do what he did on TV for many years and then do that radio show like he's been doing for, what is it, 30 years now? Man, that's it takes an hombre. Let me just tell you that. Okay. That's all I can tell you. It takes a lot. So if apparently Joe said that today, then thank you very much, Joe. I appreciate it. That's very, very, very kind of you, my brother. I appreciate it immensely. I won't be working there. There's no way I would work there. I mean, I don't need to work there, actually. That's the beauty of what we're doing here. I enjoy this. You know what I mean? And that's where I need to get to the point. I got 5 stents in my heart, man. I don't need the pressure and the bullshit anymore, man. I've tried a couple of projects that there was just way too much bullshit. And obviously, radio, you know, is full of bullshit. And I'm 54, man. I'm going to be 55. What is it? Today's the 15th. In 15 days on October 1st, I'm going to be 55 years old. I don't need it anymore, man. I just don't need it. You know, I cannot work in that kind of corporate atmosphere anymore when, like, the guy that's in charge there now, I forgot more about radio than that guy will know. You know what I mean? So why am I going to work for some? How can I respect someone that doesn't respect human beings and lies to them? And, you know, it's disgusting what goes on in radio and how they treat people like Captain Curtis and Brandon Rodriguez, my former producer, and JT Wilcox, and, you know, what they've done to Dono there. And I know he's back doing some stuff, but they've let him go and brought him back, let him go and brought him back. And it's like, why, you know, it's just a terrible, 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 terrible business. And then bad people get opportunities too, you know, and that's the sad part. And they're put in places of authority also. And that's, you know, it's a terrible situation, man. I mean, I told you guys once, you know how crazy this business is. Let me explain to you in 31 years what I've gone through. I lost one job, Spanish Sports Talk, which is still probably one of my favorite jobs I've ever had in my life, working at Radio Acción. The owner, the poor guy, had a divorce, and the wife wanted cash. So he had to sell the station and make it liquid to give her half. So we were all blown out because he sold it to a religious group. And obviously, I'm a sports talk host, not a religious host or producer or anything like that. So you go find another job. I'm at 640 and they file for bankruptcy. Okay. And to their credit, to this day, I love the owner. He is fantastic. He was super honest with me he's one of the few people in the history of this business that I've been in, okay, that actually took the time to be a human being, you know, and tell me about it coming up and, you know, hey, listen, I got your money. I'll take care of you. No problem. This and that. So, you know, he was kind and I give him credit, even though he was going through hell and everything. And a lot of people lost their jobs and all that. And how did I get to 640? At QAM, they put a salesperson as program director. And look, I love salespeople. I don't want one of them ever telling me what to do on the air. I've never met a salesperson pretty much that knows what we do on the air. Even though they sell it, they don't really know how to do our job. You know what I'm saying? And so they put a sales guy in charge who thought hiring athletes, all athletes, because, you know, you have Joe and you think you're going to get another Joe Rose, and you're not going to get another Joe Rose. That doesn't exist. There's only one Joe Rose. Most athletes that I've worked with, they don't have the work ethic to do our job. They made their money already, dude. They're done. They don't need to work hard. They don't need to try to learn another sport or two or three or four. Because, you know, you get a guy out of football, he doesn't know shit about basketball. He doesn't keep up with it. Yeah, he might have played a little bit on the court, but he doesn't know anything about the game or the history or anything like that. Doesn't know shit about baseball. Doesn't know shit about hockey. Doesn't know shit about soccer. Doesn't follow anything. Most athletes, 99% of athletes, are effing lazy in broadcast. Okay? 99% of them. I know. I've worked with them. They just want to get by, get the check. They can't do everyday hosting. And obviously, he got railed out of there, and they blew out all the athletes that are there because the athletes aren't going to put in the work. You know? It's just the way it is. They don't need it. When you don't need it, you don't work. It's just the way it is. And then, you know, the last time that I left QAM, the guy that's there is, you know, buffoon. He doesn't know anything. Everybody makes fun of the clown. And how he's even in place is beyond me. You think I'm going to work for that guy? Get the hell out of here, dude. I can replace that guy. I know more. I forgot more about radio than that guy. So I appreciate Joe. Love Joe. Got nothing but love for Joe. I wish him the best in his retirement next year, man. I hope he deserves this, dude. He deserves to retire and enjoy his life with his wife and his family and all that good stuff. I, you know, he's paid his dues, man. He's paid his dues. So if I'm him, I would be walking out too, because he should be taken care of with TV and radio that he's done over the years. So thank you, Joe. I appreciate it, man. That's very, very nice of you. You said that. I didn't know that, but that's pretty cool. I appreciate it. And that's it. That's your story. And and you know me, man, I don't bullshit. I just tell you straight up what it is. If I screw up, I'm going to tell you, hey man, I screwed up. I did this and this and I screwed up, man. I apologize, you know, or if something else, you guys know I shoot straight, man. That's how it is. So I like what I'm doing here. I like what we're building here. We got an incredible group now with Ira and Clay and Omar and Alan Pupar. And I think somebody was asking, yes, Alan Pupar is on today at 12:30. You know, Joe Shad and Manny Navarro. And I'm not done yet. And we're going to build up this show even more. And these companies don't care about us. Trust me, I work for them. They don't give a shit about South Florida. I am South Florida. I'm born in Belgrade, raised in Miami, went to Hialeah High, live in West Kendall, been here all my effing life. So I bleed South Florida. This is my home. These are my people. These are my teams. I care about this town. I have passion for this town. I have passion for all my teams. I was like a kid in a candy store watching Inter last night get lucky and win and turn this thing around. So I'm going to passionately create something that I know you guys that are passionate sports fans want. Now, if you want to sit here and you want to listen to a show that's just going to eat shit all day and do stupid things and barely talk sports, that's not my show. That's not who I am. That's not who I've ever been. And so far, it looks like there's a lot of people that want some hardcore sports talk and want to find out about their teams, because the download numbers, you know, say it. 2 days ago, I told you we hit 1 million in the last 30 days. Yesterday, it's 1.1 million in the last 30 days. It's because I think we're doing something right here. I think we've figured it out. We just now have to grow, and obviously you guys are helping us grow. So I can't thank you enough, really. I can't. And please, I encourage you. I would love to meet you guys. Come on out to Canesware on Friday, 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Come on out and hang out with us. And also on Sunday, if you can't be there, then on Sunday, please come on out to Sports Grill out in Miami Lakes. We'll be out there at Sports Grill having some fun doing the pre and post game shows. And we encourage you to come on out to Sports Grill in Miami Lakes right off of 154th and the Palmetto. And we'll be out there all day and into the afternoon talking about a Dolphins win over the Bills, because I am leaning that way to picking the Dolphins this week against the Bills. There you go. So good stuff there. Art Zimmerman says, amen, Big O. You own sports radio down here, brother. Thank you. Native. Yes, I am, bro. Thank you. I don't know about owning it, but we're doing our best to at least provide what you guys need out there. David says, I've been hosting a Star Wars podcast for almost 5 years. Very nerdy, LOL. But I stay in my lane. It's why I don't host general entertainment shows. Not knowledgeable enough and wouldn't pretend to be. Well, that's hey man, listen, whatever you're strong in, do it, bro. And send me a link on my email at bigoradioshow@yahoo.com. It's a Star Wars podcast. Maybe I can check it out once in a while. Andy Rio says, I don't listen to sports radio anymore since you left, only here. Well, thank you. Well, that's very nice. That's very nice. I appreciate that. Is Clint Portis going to prison if he committed fraud? I don't, you know, if he really committed fraud and he's defrauding his own players union, probably. We talked about that thing last week. Big O, some people don't understand that the playbook grows week by week, and every week new plays are installed. Installs, which are variations of the base plays, a few new plays. Yes, they are. You are correct, sir. And I'm sure they'll do some different things this week against Buffalo because you're facing a different kind of defense in one way or another. Vernon Womack says, Big O, love you here in Virginia because you are so damn honest. I appreciate you, man. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Troy Ortiz says, oh, what about Crowder? He got his bag from the NFL. He's doing a good. Yes, Crowder will work. Crowder is one of the few also. He can't drive a show by himself like Joe can. But yes, he definitely is. He will work and he will know he'll follow most of the sports. He's funny. He's got a great personality. Yes, Crowder is also one of those guys. There's no doubt about it. Yes, I'm with you there. Crowder is definitely worthy of, he's one of the few athletes that will give a shit about what he does, you know, but you can tell, look at Crowder, bro. You can tell that he's been like a blue collar guy his whole life. So I'm not kind of surprised that he does that, but Crowder is definitely one of the, that's why I told you it's like 95% or whatever. It's like a really high percentage, 97, 98, maybe. Most athletes won't try. There's only a few that will actually try, and you are correct, sir. Crowder is definitely one of them. Yes. Let's see. What else? It says, you have the same birthday as my mom, Big O. That's what Derek Sibley says. Well, then she's got to be a terrific lady. She's a Libra. There you go. Jessica Joyner says, life won't be the same for the South Florida sports fan when Joe retires. Yeah, you are correct. He's a staple. He's been with us for a long, long time. If I'm Joe, I'd leave Q, like, you know, when he retires here at the beginning of next year, what I'd do is I'd start my own podcast if I'm him. I told him that. I told him that. I said, dude, leave these bums alone. Go do your own podcast. You'll get plenty of people to watch and listen, but he's probably going to retire and enjoy. He's grinded, bro. He's grinded. He's grinded like nobody's ever grinded before. So he deserves to rest and relax, man, if he wants to. He deserves to do whatever the F he wants to do. That's what he's earned. Big O, now when I start watching the program, YouTube shows, one or two commercials, not sponsors, no biggie, but I hope you're getting paid for this. Sir, the sponsors are the reasons why I'm still doing this show. You know what I mean? We need sponsors, and we need more sponsors. We got to get more sponsors on the show, and we're working on all of that now. I'm working on trying to find a sales staff. Not a staff, one or two people, but I'm trying to find the right sales people that can help us also at the same. I can't do everything, man. I cannot do the show, come up with the content, produce, you know, help out all the other things that we have to do. We've got a website. We've got to get that going. You know, we got a really nice website, BigOradioShow.com, and we have to get that thing going and all that. It all takes money, ladies and gentlemen. Everything takes money. Okay. That's why I tell you to smash the like button. That's why I tell you to share the link. You know, if you guys can donate, great. If you have a sponsor that might be interested, we got a ton of exposure now. So there's a lot of people, and the YouTube channel is actually growing every single day. So yes, we need sponsors. And the good thing is you don't hear a lot here. You only hear it in certain sections and then it's gone and we'll talk about them and all that. You'll hear it a lot on the podcast, obviously at the beginning and all those kind of things and elements that we're adding now to YouTube. As we remember, we restarted this thing June 15. It's only September 15. So we've gone, what, July to August? It's only 3 months. In 90 days, we resurrected the show, and look where it's gone now. And it's, thank you. Thank you all out there. So I appreciate it. So we'll keep, you know, we're going to keep busting our ass. This is the show that's going to go out on the road. I want to go to the Senior Bowl. I want to go to the Combine. I want to go to the East-West Shrine Game. I want to go to the Las Vegas Summer League. we're going to go hardcore on this show. I want that. That's why we need more sponsors. That's why we need more listeners, more subscribers, more all of that stuff, because we want to make this the show that covers all of the South Florida sports and in every way possible. Off-season events, you know, like Hall of Fame. When Wade is up in 2 years, I want this show to be there in Springfield doing it for the week. You know what I mean? That's what I want. Well, maybe a couple of days. I don't know if I want to be in Springfield for a whole week, but you know what I'm saying. Go up a couple of days, Sean and myself, and go get it done and have some fun, all of that stuff. So there you go. So reach out if you know, if many different ways you already told you that we need to grow. So if you happen to have any skills, or you know somebody that has those kind of skills, BigORadioShow@yahoo.com is always the way that you can reach out to us. But, you know, just to kind of put a bow on it, again, thanks, Joe. Very nice of you, my brother. I appreciate you. Phone took a crap, had to reboot, but what's up, Big O? That's what Two Extreme says. Milton Munoz says, Big O, I've been listening to you for decades. Yeah, I'm old. My first call back in the day in the Spanish station was, ¿Qué piensas de Brian Cox? Today, smashing from Chicago. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. I should get Brian on. I know Brian really well. He and I would smoke cigars at the Senior Bowl all the effing time, dude. All the effing time. I mean, that was good stuff. That was good stuff. He's an exceptional person, by the way. Okay? I got nothing but great things to say about Brian Cox, man. He is a fantastic person. Steve Chapman, the man on the mountain, says, as you know, I'm a Boston guy except for my Dolphins. WEEI in Boston has an ex-Red Sox, Lou Merlone. Of course, I know who he is. An ex-Patriot, Christian Fourier. So the afternoon shows, both guys are doing the work all on all sports. Yeah, but they're hardcore too. You know, there's kind of this thing, and it's very successful, where you talk very little sports. It's more about screwing off and doing all kinds of, and there's plenty of radio shows that do that, and it's very successful. You know, and listen, I have fun here. I take my shots. I joke around about different things. If you listen long enough, you know, we'll have some fun, and I'll have my own twist on things, but I'm not going to make the whole show about that because there's actual sports to talk about. You know, and get to it and have some fun and have some dialogue and opinions and emotions and all those kind of things. Dave says Crowder is a scream. Love that guy. Looking forward to his next gig. Let's see. Oh, Big O, what do you think about Theocracy? Jamie, I can tell, dude, that I know you listen a lot and I see you on the chat boards all the time. So I know you pay attention to the show and you listen. And one of the things that I loved about Theocracy, Mirrors of, what's it called? Mirrors of, what was it? I wrote it down. I forgot now. Mirrors of Souls. Excellent stuff. I really enjoyed it. But you got me right where I needed it, okay? Because there's a lot of metal out there and hard rock. But then you've got the screamers, and I rarely ever like any kind of band that's just got a screamer. No, that's just not my style. That dude can sing. That was good. That was really good. I really enjoyed Mirror of Souls. That was exceptional. So, I think I'm going to buy it on Amazon, you know? So, yeah, it's kind of like Dirty Honey that I saw last week open up for the Black Crows, and I heard about him because my buddy told me about him. Then I saw them live, and Dirty Honey is excellent, dude. Their singer is fantastic, and so I went and bought the CD off of Amazon. Yes, I buy CDs still. Yes, because I know every time I say that, somebody says, "Hey, damn." I used to listen to the Jungle Jim Rome show syndicated from Southern California. I just listened to Big O. Now that's what Rich V says. Thank you, sir. Thank you. That is very kind of you. Let me see if I got anything from earlier here to pick out that I have not read. There's a lot of questions. I am so, you know, somebody sent me the other day about, hey, man, I asked you, but I couldn't get an answer. And I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. It's like it's grown and there's a lot of questions and a lot of comments and I can't get to all of them. You know what I'm saying? Leon Fresco says, I love how none of these comments have anything to do with Iron Clay's show. I think Big O should probably save his cash as a no one really. Listen, that's the idea. We're going to switch around. And for me, basketball is year round. So it's not, I know that you're going to, you know, the chat board at times, you guys are going off on different things, even when I'm talking. And you're going back and forth and arguing about different things. So it happens. But there were plenty of questions for the boys, which was great. And I know how it is. In a couple of weeks, it picks up. Because once basketball starts, then it matters. Because they're playing. So I this is the way it goes. But that's fine. Those are the two sports that are going to be year-round on this show. Football and basketball. Football and basketball are year-round sports now. And so that's where you can expect that kind of coverage on this show. Let's see. Uro now says, oh, I've been listening to you for at least 10 years. I remember busting your chops about Dez Bryant on the 640 text line. You've definitely been ahead of your time with listener interaction. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. What about Circus of Power? Is that a band, a metal band? Let me write it down, I guess. You guys are giving me more homework here. Circus of Power. I will check it out, my man. I can't play any of that here because YouTube will shut down the show, you know, for the day or whatever, and you just can't play any of that stuff. But I will check it out. Thank you. Circus of Power. All right. Did you see the PK last night? Yeah, I saw the Skip to My Lou PK by McCoon. Yes, yes, yes. Michelle Kaufman can join us sometime this hour to talk a little bit about that. They got lucky yesterday, dude. They got lucky. But, hey, I'll take it, man. They've had some bad luck, too. So once in a while, it's nice for the leprechaun to land on your shoulder and give you a little luck. Big O Theocracy's first album was all made and produced by the lead singer, all instruments. Amazing stuff. A lot of Dream Theater influence. Yes. Yes, you are correct that there is a lot of Dream Theater. Jimmy Amaya, thank you, sir. Cash App. You are awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Jimmy, appreciate you giving us some love on the Cash App. That is absolutely awesome. Let's see. But I did enjoy Theocracy, man. That was good. That was really good. I'm going to buy that album. I tried to do a Cash App, Big O, but it wouldn't let me use debit card. Okay. I don't know, man. I don't know how it, you got it. I guess don't go through debit card. You do your bank account is what you do. Not the debit card, right? I think that's what you put. You put your bank account and then it'll go through. That's the way you, and then you can send anytime you want to your friends, family members, or whatever, all that kind of stuff. Let's see. But I bought a Cash Chat. Do you still collect off of that? I don't know what Cash Chat is. We only have Cash App and Venmo, and then obviously the Super Chat. That's all. Those are the three avenues, my brother, to help out the show. Dirty Honey reminds me of GNR and Aerosmith blended together. I was thinking David Coverdale and who was it that I was comparing it to? Oh, Jack Russell, Great White. I was kind of comparing it. Jack Russell, Great White, and David Coverdale had a rock child, and the rock child would be that dude because it kind of reminded me a little bit of both those guys, actually. So it's interesting how we kind of see it, you know, I get what we're doing, but we're trying to put like some kind of, you know, comparison to it, and we're seeing it a little different. Let's see, what else do we got going on here? I watched the tape over and over on that interception. Brother, it's a win. Don't worry about it. Don't kill yourself. It happens. Look, what you have to worry about with Tua, and I don't think you're going to have to worry about this. Does this become habitual? Does he throw interceptions all the time? Does he go Jameis Winston on your ass? You see what I'm saying? So he played a pretty decent game overall, and he doesn't have, you know, a great line or a great running game, and yet he still found a way to make plays with the guys, and he made a lot of quick decisions. He made a lot of good throws. You know, I just kind of think that we've got to be a little bit more patient. That's all with it. And don't torture yourself, man. The bottom line is they won. I mean, look at the Raiders game the other night. That thing was funky, man. It went back and forth and all that stuff. And still, it was a mission overall. And yet they won after mistakes and all kinds of stuff going on. And yet they figured it out. That's why don't drive yourself crazy with that stuff. You know, it's not worth it. Big O, it bothers me that they talk trash about everyone. Why? Again, let it go, dude. Let it go. All the trash they talk, and they won 10 games last year. That's it. You know, when I had my conversation with Greg Bedard, who I love, but he's like, well, you know, they didn't make the playoffs last year. And it's like, let's be realistic. See, that's an unrealistic comment because you tore it completely down the year before and you're still rebuilding. And the problem is that his mind, he's still thinking of the past and he's not compartmentalizing everything and looking at it for, okay, what did Greer and Flores do since the first year till now? And he doesn't look at it that way. He lumps everything else that's gone on with it, and that's unfair. And then things like this, you got a lot of people that are commenting on the Dolphins. You can't worry about that stuff. They said they were all talking about tanking, right? And it sounded good for them when it was 0-3 and 0-4. And then they started to win games after 0-7. And the tanking people were like, well, wait a minute. I thought you were tanking. No, they weren't tanking, asshole. They were never tanking. They tore the team down to the bone and they went young. They want to develop their guys. They got rid of Ereck Flowers and said, all right, let's go. Let's move on. Let's tear the scab off. Let's see if these young guys can play. We can't keep them on the bench. Ereck Flowers is a progress stopper. And it's not like he's a Pro Bowler. So people can look at it however they want. Oh, you traded your Minka. You should have kept him, but he doesn't want to be here. Get rid of him. But guess what? They still won 10 games last year without Minka and Tunsil. So let them spin whatever they want. Let them say whatever they want. Wasting your time going after it is what you do is you sit patiently, kind of like crypto. You hodl, you sit patiently. And then you wait for it to climb to a point where you can start to take profits. Well, guess what? Let's wait till they make the playoffs at the end of the year. And then you can turn around and you can tell all the haters, guess what? F you. Kind of like Len Dawson. Len Dawson and the Chiefs lost the first Super Bowl between the AFL and the NFL. And when the merger came the first couple of years, Green Bay won those first two Super Bowls. They beat Kansas City, and Lombardi, after that game, said, hey, Kansas City is good, but they're not as good as a lot of the teams we play in the NFL. So he took a shot at Kansas City. He took a shot at the AFL, right? So then Len Dawson, 2 years later, in 1969, is sitting in the Orange Bowl in the press box, and down on the field is the New York Jets against the Baltimore Colts. Again, the AFL against the NFL. And the Jets ended up surprising them and winning. And that's when Len Dawson got up and turned around to everybody, the writers and all that, because there was this attitude that the AFL was lesser and that they didn't belong in the merger. They shouldn't have merged, that they weren't as good. And then, boom, the Jets win. Len Dawson stood up in the press room, turned around, everybody said, so what do you guys think of the AFL now? and there was no peep. There wasn't a peep in the house. They couldn't say anything. And then from there on, more AFL teams like Kansas City, like the Dolphins, like the Raiders started winning Super Bowls. So then all that went by the wayside, and no, and all the old people stopped talking about the AFL like it was the lesser league when it wasn't. That's all it is, man. So do what Len Dawson did. Do what you're supposed to do in crypto. Don't panic. Don't react. Let the ups and downs happen, because the ups and downs, there's always lower, lower highs and higher highs as it goes up if you look at it on macro. And then eventually you'll have your window where you can sell and make some profit. And that's it. And then you'll be laughing. Well, when the Dolphins make the playoffs, you can turn around and tell them, send them a tweet, give them the finger, tell them you don't know shit, all that kind of good stuff. And you'll have fun with that. That's all. Just wait for your moment. It's coming. That's all. You have the coach. You have the front office. But it just doesn't happen overnight. You don't correct 20 years of mistakes just like that. You got to gut the team. You got to build the culture. You got to teach them how to win. And they're doing it through youth. Just like all those people that said tanking, 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 they were never tanking. Because if you're tanking, you're not trying to go 5-4 at the end of the year. You're not trying to beat the New England Patriots. But anybody can, narratives, right? You can spin it however the hell you want. By the end of the year, you look really stupid. Now you understood, or you maybe some people still think they were tanking, but they didn't understand that what Flo was doing was teaching them how to win. Then he taught them how to win. They started winning, and then he gave them the taste of winning and what it and how you benefit from it. And at the end of the year, was 5-4. And then you end the dynasty for the Patriots, which is one hell of an accomplishment for that 2019 team. So, again, it's like when I was talking to my boy Greg, you can say whatever you want about the Dolphins. Flo is 3-2 against Belichick in his first 5 games, and he's won twice there in Foxborough. Normally, what has happened over the years, the Dolphins always give the Patriots trouble here in Miami and win sometimes. But in Foxborough, that's a cemetery out there for the Dolphins. Not anymore. Not anymore. Somebody's won in Foxborough 2 out of 3 years. Who's that? That's Flo. So stick the tanking in your ass and stick all the crap that you want to talk about the Dolphins, and you want to keep labeling them what happened with Gase and what happened with Cameron and what happened all that, and you think it's the same old Dolphins. It's not going to be the same old Dolphins. Wait your turn. Trust me. You'll get your revenge. You will. Trust me. Let's see. Big O, we've been bad for so long that our fans don't have no patience, and I understand. Yeah, and I understand the fans that don't have patience. You know, I try to reason with them, but I understand. It sucks, man. It sucks to lose for a long time. It sucks not to be competitive for a long time. It sucks to be incompetent for a long time. And the Dolphins were all of that. Now it's the Canes. Now it's the Canes that have that disease that they can't get rid of. Big O, love the NFL history lesson. You'll never get that story in the mainstream. Do you think Preston will be active for Buffalo? Something tells me they're going to keep him out a couple more weeks, but we'll see. We'll see, my friend. You know, nobody has access to Flo. That's the other thing that I laugh at. Well, yeah, no, I know what Flo is thinking. Flo likes this player, that player. He wants to trade. No, you don't. Nobody talks to Flo. Nobody talks to Chris Greer. Those guys aren't talking to anybody. But I don't know. My guess is as good as yours, my friend. But I'm going to say, because of everything going on right now, look how they were cautious with Raekwon Davis. They've been cautious with players. I think they're gonna slow walk this thing with Preston. And now that you got Fuller back, and I don't know if the anti-vaxxer is coming back, but hopefully Hopefully he'll be on the field today practicing and getting ready for the game. Really, with Preston right now, as long as Parker is healthy, you can kind of live without Preston at the moment. And I want the speed on the field. I want Fuller and Waddle on the field creating havoc. And I want Gesicki on the field and Parker. That way you have all the elements. You have the big receiver. You have the two blazers. And you've got the athletic tight end. And let me tell you something. If Fuller was healthy last week and ready. Well, I'm sorry. If Fuller was not suspended last week and he plays, I think Gesicki becomes a bigger factor in the game, because that safety could not then, you know, they weren't worried about Albert Wilson as much as others were enthralled with Albert Wilson in shorts. The Patriots weren't worried about Albert Wilson at all. They'll be worried about Will Fuller. I can guarantee you that. And that safety will have to roll. That free safety will have to roll over, or if he doesn't, he then has to worry about Waddle and Fuller and then Gesicki. You're not going to double him. You're done. So that's really the key. And it shows you the difference between a Albert Wilson, the overrated one, and, of course, Will Fuller. And you'll see. This week, you'll see a difference because of Fuller being added to the offense compared to Albert Wilson. Let's see. Just saw that Flo is taking Raekwon Davis' injury as day-to-day per today's meet. Well, he's on the IR. He's on the IR. So, you know what I mean? He could be out up to 3 weeks. So you don't really know. None of us really know. They call it day-to-day. That doesn't mean anything. He could be out weeks. That's the way these guys are. But the good thing is that they're going to at least. And by the way, the Dolphins have activated tight end Adam Shaheen, baby. I love it. Now you got two tight ends to really attack the defense for the Bills. And this is really good, ladies and gentlemen, to get these guys back for this game. I love it, man. I love it. I think it's fantastic. Let's see if we could get the, I don't know if there was a press conference this morning, but maybe we can get the press conference. I don't know if it was this morning or it still hasn't gone on. Let me see. I can look it up here. Let's see. Where are we at here? Let's see. All right, let me give you some stuff here. The coach says they're going to take Raekwon Davis' injury as day-to-day. He doesn't like working in timelines because he personally had setbacks with injuries in his career and doesn't like to operate in guesswork. Will Fuller's return today will be his first day back. He had some practice time, and then they'll know more. Also, the coach says we have to have high execution against this team. It's a very good team, which we all know that. Let's see. What else do we know here? On Tua getting through progressions, he's a young player who's getting better every time he steps on the field. That's in a lot of areas, calling the play, reading the defense, decision-making, progressions. It's all getting better. Okay. Adam Shaheen and Austin Jackson both will be practicing today. That's also very good because you add depth. Okay. So those are some of the news and notes from the game. I'll try to see if I can actually get the whole video. I don't know if it's been posted yet, but I'll see if I can get the whole video up and play it for you guys. And we'll try to go in that direction. Let's see. What else do we have here? Big old Bills safety Jordan Poyer isn't known for his playmaking or coverage skills. He's known for his wife. Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's isn't she the one that's like a big Trumpy and anti-vaxxer and all that kind of stuff? Yeah. Yeah. She's hot, too, by the way. If I remember correctly, Jordan Poyer did a good job there. Oh, imagine what you just said about our speed and both tight ends back, and then add Parker before he is injured again. That spells trouble. No, I love this offense. I think this offense is going to score a lot of points. I really do. I think I really believe Tua is going to have a heck of a year, and we just gotta let this thing grow. It just doesn't happen in one game or 1 year. Everything with Flo is day-to-day, LOL. I agree 100% about Preston, Big O. I think that they're slow walking a lot of players for the 17-game season, trying to stay strong late in the season to make a run. I agree. And the good thing is you're already 1-0, so you're not falling behind, which is super key. You know, our receivers are going to smoke that defense. That's what Two Extreme says. Big O, I think DVP has a huge day. Get him involved early and often. Yeah, I think you can get after that Buffalo secondary. They got to make quick decisions and get those speed guys, get them the ball quickly, and let them start making plays. And I think everything will be all right. Big O, do you think this might be the end of the road for Noah Igbinoghomi? He was a healthy scratch last week, and by the looks of it, might not dress again this week, according to Flores. But why would you play him at this time? If he's not your main returner, which he helps out in returning, if he's not a starting boundary corner, he's not supposed to start over Jones or X, and he's not really a slot guy. And you have Nick Needham, who's has more experience than him. You have to, guys, Austin Jackson is 20 years old. He's super young. We have to give him time to develop. And Noah Igbinoghomi has only been playing corner for a couple of years. The guy got to Auburn as a wide receiver, then switched positions. So now he's kind of learning the position at college, and he's now learning the position at the ultimate level. None of this is going to happen overnight. And then the worst thing that happened for Noah is that they acquired Jones. So they're not giving him the playing time so he can make all his mistakes and then find out if he can turn into a good player. So the development of Noah becomes that much more difficult because of what's in front of him. And I know Noah's kind of a, maybe was drafted more as an insurance policy because of what's going on with what was going on with X, or what will go on with X after this year is done, if they choose to trade him. But we have to be patient. You can't expect a kid to develop when he doesn't play. So if he doesn't get enough playing time, how do we judge him? That's kind of the way it is. And because he's so green at the position, he has to learn how to play it. He has to make his mistakes. That's the only way he's going to get better with those experiences. It's just a really tough situation. And in a way, you almost feel like they shouldn't have drafted him, because they're actually doing a disservice to themselves as a team and to Noah. That's really the truth right now. That's the one thing that maybe that's the bigger problem, is that maybe they overshot there a little bit and they're like, okay, yeah, maybe we shouldn't have drafted this kid at this time because we're pretty loaded. And maybe they didn't expect Nick Needham to become as good a player as he's become, as reliable of a player as he's become. And then, you know, you bought Jones, so you've got X. You don't need him as much. Hard to develop when you don't play. And it's not like people rotate corners on the outside. Your starting corners are your starting corners. And you're not going to rotate by. You start rotating Byron Jones with Noah, you know what happens now? You guys start creating a controversy of, why are you paying Jones if you're rotating him? You start rotating X. How stupid is that? You're going to rotate the best corner in the NFL, or one of the three best corners in the NFL? Can't do that either. So if he's a boundary guy and he can't play the boundary, what do you want him to do? And last year, Jones was out for a couple games, so he got some playing time, but it's only a couple games. Tough, man. I mean, we have to, as frustrated as you might be, I bet you Chris Greer and Brian Flores are more frustrated than all of us, because they can't find the time to play him, to develop him, because they're trying to win, not tank, since day one. Now, Noah would have been great the first year. That would have been awesome the first year, because even X was out. And he could have played all year and made all the kind of mistakes, and he probably would be a better player now. But he has not had that opportunity. And you know how many players in the NFL play in their first year, year or two, maybe, and they struggle. And then the light goes on, and then they become a good player, and that's because they learned the process. We have to be realistic on Noah's situation. As frustrating as it is, it's kind of unfair to him. And for the front office, while they were maybe looking forward to protecting themselves, they probably overshot a little bit now because they're hurting the development of the young man because they're trying to win. It's not their fault in that sense. But next year, if X is moved, then that could become, you know, an option now, and then you start to develop him. Chris says, we will see Noah soon enough, and hopefully he'll come out ready to go. These are DBs. They're going to get injured and banged up, and someone's going to miss some time. He'll get on the roster and get some. Hopefully. Although, Chris, you're right. Injuries happen. In a perfect world, we don't want anything to happen to those guys. In a perfect world, honestly, we don't want to see Noah on the field. I got to be honest, right? You want your two starting corners out there, and right now you want Nick Needham out there, right? I mean, it's not like you're choosing anybody else. I know you got to develop the kid, but you don't have any time to develop him. You're trying to win games here. You want to go to the playoffs? Yeah, right? Okay, so you play your best players. That's it. That's all you can do. Nathan Schellenhammer says, mid and late round, Greer does great. I'd like to see him hit more on the first and second rounders. So, right, we'll find out if that's, last time I checked, Minka was a first rounder. Last time I checked, Tunsil was a first rounder. Last time I checked, X was a second rounder. Last time I checked, those guys are successful, right? So I know, I get it. Igbinogami, Austin Jackson, and Tua are still, you know, the jury is still out on those guys. X wasn't special either. His first year and a half, maybe two, kind of started really like becoming X, like his third year probably. It's when he became like the guy. So I don't know. You know, he hits on him, but we got to give him time to develop, you know? It's not as easy as it sounds. Charles Harris, miss. Christian Wilkins, a good player. Christian Wilkins hasn't been a bad player. Raekwon Davis, the kid got injured, but we got to give him some time, and hopefully he gets back with a knee and he plays the way we're expecting him to play. You just drafted Jalen Phillips. Let's wait. You guys want microwave results, and that's just not the way it goes. So he has hit on first and second rounders, but now you're talking about the last couple of years. Now those we have to give some time to develop. You're not going to hit on all of them, okay? And here's the other thing: you can't have your cake and eat it too. If you miss on a second rounder, but you hit on Van Ginkel in the fifth, that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes, right? As long as you're finding players, you found Nick Needham on the street, right? You found Siler on the street. You guys can't pick and choose when the fuck you want to pick somebody didn't hit. Okay? That's lazy. That's absolutely lazy, right? Because they find Jonathan Ogbah off the scrap heap. He's still young enough, actually, that you can have a future with him, and they got him on a cheap-ass contract. That's how you win games, ladies and gentlemen. And you find Miles Gaskin in the seventh round. You understand what I'm saying? You can't pick and choose. Players are players. Whatever you find to help you, street free agency, a trade like Adam Shaheen, or a draft pick. Don't give me this lazy-ass shit. Oh, no, I just want to pick on Charles Harris and Noah Igbinogami. Yeah, but then I can give you 30 other players that they hit on in all kinds of ways. That doesn't fly like that. Okay. You don't hit on all seven picks. So if you find a guy that's a really good player for you later in the draft, so be it. I don't care where you found him. Does he help you win is the question. Yes. So then that's all that counts. Just like I've been warning you guys ahead of time, right? Because the so many Dolphin fans assume, and you're so critical on the offensive line, and you assume all five draft picks are going to hit. And that's just not the case. You're not. There are so many Dolphin fans that are hypercritical about all five picks, and they never take the time to say, well, wait a minute, who the hell hits on five offensive linemen? So let's say Austin Jackson sucks, but Eichenberg's awesome. It's a wash. Let's say Hunt is awesome and Solomon Kinley isn't. It's a wash. And let's say you hit on Dieter. You're a monster if you hit on three or five. You're only going to hit on two or three of these guys. If they hit on four or five, like I've said over and over again, Chris Greer's an effing genius. Let's not get lazy here, okay? Let's not start talking, oh, they missed on this guy, and then you're leaving everything out that they find. And that's just not, that's not fair either. You know, Gesicki, by the way, is a second rounder, isn't he? For that guy that chimed in last time I checked. Did he not hit on that also? I mean, you know, it's pure laziness to just point out a player or two or three or whatever. But overall, he's hit on guys. They've hit on several guys. And they found guys outside the draft, undrafted. They've traded for guys. All that's how you win. You don't only win with the draft picks. You better be good at finding some undrafted college free agents. You better be good at trading for some guys. You better be good stealing guys off of somebody else's practice squad. And then obviously in free agency where you overpay most of the time, but once in a while, you're going to have to hit on them. It's just a lazy thing. Oh, look, in the end, here's what I'm going to tell you. They're 16-10 since the 0-7 start. So I don't care if you want to nitpick about one pick here, one pick there. Is the team getting better? Yes. Then what the hell do you want? Right? What the hell do you want? Do you want to actually, you know, a real football team? Or do you want to just be a bitter ass fan that's trying to find the negative in everything? Meanwhile, the team went 10-6 last year and now started 1-0. They got a shot at going 2-0 this week and they beat Buffalo. I don't care how they beat Buffalo. You know that, right? I hope it's another 1-point win. As long as it's a win, it's a win. How anybody comes out of the Patriot game complaining is just baffling to me. It really is. Holy crap, the hour already has gone by. Hour number two next.